Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. All this month, we are rocking red for Healthy Hearts with Evangelical Community Hospital. This radio station, the Sunbury Media Partner, Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation, and our sister stations making sure that we call attention to heart health, living a healthy lifestyle, and developing a relationship with your physicians who can help you to enjoy heart health. And that leads us to our interview today. Dr. Saqib Siddiqui back on the line. We talked to him last year, and we're glad to say he is back. He's a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular Center at Evangelical Community Hospital and their medical director of cardiac rehabilitation at Evangelical Community Hospital. So thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Siddiqui. Good to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I really do appreciate it. I think we learned a lot last time about cholesterol and diet and fitness and exercise and sort of the things that we can do to enjoy a more heart-healthy lifestyle. Let's talk about the conceptual idea of having to have an opportunity to talk to you. How and why and when would we have a conversation with a cardiologist?
Yeah, so there are many reasons that you would eventually see a cardiologist. I think from my point of view, it could be a lot of different reasons. It can be anything from saying, I don't really have any cardiac issues, but I want to avoid them from having. I don't want to have heart disease. I want to prevent heart disease. That's a good enough reason to see a cardiologist. There could be another reason of saying, well, I don't really have heart disease, but I know my family does. I know my mom or dad had some cardiac issues, and I want to make sure I don't get them. That's a good reason to see a cardiologist. And anytime your PCP, that you talk to your PCP and you're having some issues, and it could be a plethora of reasons. Hey, I'm having palpitations, fluttering in my chest, shortness of breath, chest pain, jaw pain. In women, you could have atypical symptoms, abdominal fullness, and reflux-like symptoms. For any of these reasons, you know, your family doctor can do some quick screening tests and say, yeah, I think you probably need to see a cardiologist. So there's a lot of different reasons, anything from preventative issues to let's deal with the problem that we have.
PCP being a primary care provider, likely to see. So that happens. A lot of folks have developed a trust with their primary care physician, sort of a rapport, and they might even know something about each other's personal lives, so they really get a good relationship going. Can we nurture that kind of relationship with a cardiologist?
Absolutely. So in a similar way, I think once you are referred to a cardiologist, in the same manner, I think we have to look at the overall health of a patient. We don't purely just look at the heart issue. Everything affects the heart, and the heart affects everything else. So we look at, once you have a relationship with us, we'll continue to make sure that the heart is in the best possible condition, that we're going to avoid any further issues or any prevent any issues from happening. A lot of the patients that I see, there could be a quick and easy sort of a one-time consultation that we see each other and we give you a nice, clear bill of health, and then you may not need to see us. But the majority of the patients will see us maybe once a year, maybe every 6 months, but generally about once a year until you're doing better. And I think in a similar way, we develop a very strong relationship, get to know each other very well, and make sure no other cardiac issues happen.
Well, I guess, would you establish sort of a open trust? I mean, almost like they're a friend. Is that a good sort of bedside manner for you and a good way for me, the patient, to think about it?
I think so. I think the relationship between a patient and a doctor is changing. I think you have to be open. We have to be open about things that are causing issues in your life, whether it's a personal issue, because we know stress from home life can cause cardiac issues, anything from going through a divorce or going through money issues. I mean, these are stresses, and any stress can cause, cardiac disease. So yeah, I think you need to be open. I think we need to be clear about any problem that can come up potentially that is prevented, that we can prevent further disease from.
So you should like your doc and trust your doc, and I guess just liking your doc would be enough.
I think so. I think that's important to make sure that you have a good repertoire, and I think it has to go both ways. I think doctors have to be held responsible to be able to talk to their patients and talk to them in a manner that they'll understand. And in a similar way, I think the patient should understand that if they don't understand something that's going on, if the doctor is maybe talking in a way that they don't understand, the words are going above their head, they need to be able to stop them and say, hey, can you explain that to me again?
Well, that makes sense. I talked to one of our good colleagues here about the fact that we'd have a conversation with you today, and he replied, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. You'll like him. He's a good doc to talk to. We are talking to Dr. Saqib Siddiqui. He is a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular Center at Evangelical Community Hospital while we rock red for healthy hearts this month on WKOK. When we have our meetings and opportunities to talk with each other, what are you going to work on? What are you going to look for?
Yeah, so, you know, once we meet, we try to go over a detailed cardiac and medical history. We can work together, you know, with the patient to try to see if we can reduce the risk of cardiac events, reduce the risk of another event, if that's the reason I'm seeing you. So we do, based on our cardiac testing, blood work, this medical history, detailed history that we take, reading the family doctor's notes, or talking to them, we can come up with a rough estimate or risk of cardiac events over a period of 10 years. And once we come up with that risk, then we can sort of say, okay, how do we reduce this risk? How do we reduce it? What are the next steps that we have to take to reduce these events from happening or from happening again?
And when the treatment time might come, what kind of treatments are going to be part of that preventative scheme?
Yeah, so cardiac testing, you know, right here at Evangelical, for example, we have the majority of the cardiac testing that we could do right here. Anything from, you know, stenting procedures to echoes, TEEs, which are transesophageal echocardiograms, electrocardiograms or EKGs, heart monitors. There are different reasons for why you would need one of these testing, but, you know, being able to come to a community hospital like Evangelical and knowing that you have a state-of-the-art cath lab, echo lab, our stress lab, stress testing, and cardiac rehabilitation program, it's really nice to have in your backyard. And we have all of the testing that we could do. But again, a cardiologist will go over which ones are appropriate and when we need to do them.
When we last spoke, we talked about the fact that folks were not going to doctors as readily during the pandemic in the interest of safety for themselves and maybe others. I guess they don't want to spread it if they happen to catch the disease. Tell me about visits to you. Have those visits resumed? Are we sort of out of this period where folks are avoiding going to their doctors or specialists?
Yeah, I think so. I think people need to just rethink now. There were people avoiding the doctors, hospitals. I mean, and to be honest, it's hard to blame them. But now we've noticed that people were missing heart disease. They were sitting with heart problems for a year, year and a half, and we don't want that. We are full. We're full up and running now. If there are issues that you think that you've been avoiding, now is the time to call us or get an appointment made. We'll start taking care of it. But yeah, we're full running now, and doesn't matter where you go, just restart seeing your family doctors, get back to a cardiologist, get back to your specialist.
Is the pandemic creating a different kind of stress or more stress? Is that, you talked about stress in the heart, is the pandemic one of the stressors?
Yeah, I noticed this. You know, I've had patients tell me, you know, anything from financial issues, personal issues, you know, housing issues, food issues. There's a lot. There's a lot going on, and any stress can cause heart problems. I mean, we know that stress hormones are directly they can cause inflammation. Any inflammation for the heart is not good, and inflammatory products can cause heart disease and heart attacks. So, absolutely.
And what about long-term patients that suffer from COVID? Does long COVID impact the heart, or just has having COVID at all impact the heart?
I think COVID, just having COVID altogether, we've shown now that it's affecting the heart. So if you've had COVID, it's something to keep a closer eye on. Again, like any other virus, whether it's influenza or respiratory RSV viruses that go around, there's just a higher chance of the same thing. It's an inflammation. Inflammation within the heart can cause more stress. The stress can cause breakdown of blood vessels and muscles. And once you get these are the perfect ingredients for your heart to cause, have heart disease.
When you have a cardiac patient that you're treating, how do you dispense advice? Do you talk to them or do you give them a printed page that says, don't eat so much red meat or something like that?
Yeah, I've had it could be anything from patients coming in with printed out papers from that they found on Google and showing me, hey, what do you think of this? And I don't mind that at all. In fact, I like it. We can look at all the data that's available now to us on the internet and Google, and I can sort of look at them and say, hey, this is good information. Let's talk about why there's too much information, or maybe this information isn't detailed enough. What I generally do is I will talk to them as simply as I can. I like to think very simply and try to equate that in the simplest way possible, and then sort of go into more detail. There are patients who like things written out or drawn. If we have to do that, we'll do that. If we do have better resources where I can print information that's a little bit more concise, that doesn't go into all the other medical problems that it could be, but sort of relates to what I think directly is related to the heart.
Talking to the medical director of cardiac rehabilitation and a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular Center at Evangelical Community Hospital. How do you feel when a patient doesn't heed your advice? You might tell somebody to cut down on red meat or exercise or, quit smoking, these kinds of things. But then they come back, and if they're being honest, if we've developed that trust, they say, nope, I'm still not heeding any of the advice that you told me.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon scenario, and I don't mind it. I like honesty, and if you say, hey, you told me to stop smoking, but I really haven't, it's good. It's good for me to know that. It's good for me to know that you haven't stopped smoking, because then we can continue to make sure that we have that conversation. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that needs to develop, and as we form that relationship and we're both honest to each other about what's going on, I think over a course of a year or two or three, we can start to cut down, or we can start maybe get better. So if somebody is not heeding the advice, they have to understand there's some personal responsibility, and it limits how much healing that's going to happen. But we can continue to work on our relationship, and we can improve.
Yeah, it might seem like you're the only person that's doing the work in the relationship. they're not doing their part. Do you rebuke people? Do you say, look, if you don't heed, you're going to die?
I don't think, I'm not sure, a lot of research has shown that that doesn't work. There used to be the whole scared straight idea that if you scare them, then it will go, they'll maybe heed your advice, but that doesn't seem to work. I think what works is education. What works is education and talking to them and explaining to them, educating them about what their responsibilities are. And at some point, once you take self-responsibility, and it's tends to be a better way to improve and fix things than getting rebuked.
Well, let's have you back again, and we'll go over some of that sound advice again and talk about those things that we can do in our life so that we earn accolades from our cardiologists and that we don't earn any harsh words. Thank you so much for your time and all your information and your help. We really appreciate you helping us out during Rock Red for Healthy Hearts. Thank you so much, Dr. Siddiqui.
You're very welcome. It was nice having. Nice talking.
That is Dr. Saqib Siddiqui. He is a cardiologist at the Heart and Vascular Center at Evangelical Community Hospital, medical director of cardiac rehabilitation there. We will have a conversation with him in the future, reiterating the diet and fitness and exercise comments he's given us over the years. And we can talk more about rehabilitation. I think that's an important step towards individuals that have any sort of a cardiac opportunity that they need to take care of. EvanHospital.com, the place to get information or contact with him. You can go to WKOK.com for our information on Rock Red for Healthy Hearts with Evangelical Community Hospital.